رضي الله تعالى عنه بفتح بيت المقدس. Now whereas in history of course the going of Sayyidina Umar to Al-Quds is called فتح بيت المقدس, but many leading writers on the Palestinian issue like Dr. Abdul Fattah Al-Owaisi in his كتاب فلسطين من أقدم العصور إلى الفتح الإسلامي says we should remember that no army, no Muslim army preceded the going of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Al-Quds. So if we talk of the conquest of Al-Quds, then we have to start from Laylat al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. I wish to remind of all of us that we are experiencing very historical moments, and I think the spirit should be captured in your mind. You should record it, you should make notes of it. If you are not careful about capturing the experience, then you may return home and somebody will ask you, how was the journey? And you could just conclude and say, well, it was a long travel from Cairo to the Rafah through the desert. But that will not be fair to capturing the spirit of what we are experiencing already here today. At the same time, we are reminded that there are those of great men, great leaders prior to us, Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, great mashaykh and ulama have already traveled this route before we ever dreamt of it. And can you imagine what the Sinai Desert was 100 years ago? And so when one reflects on the journeys of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam with Bani Israel through the Sinai Desert, then you can well imagine what it was then. And here today we are traveling with air-conditioned buses escorted by the security police, and everything is going quite smooth for us, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I thought that it will be good for us if we continue with the story of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The journey of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has various dimensions that is absolutely good for us to reflect upon. Very significantly, the time period when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu undertook this journey to Bayt al-Maqdis is approximately 4 years after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the 15th year of the Hijrah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu undertook this journey. History tells us that there was correspondence between Ahlu Ilia, and the word Ilia was the Roman name that was used then by the Romans for the city of Al-Quds. And by the way, Ilia in Roman means Baytullah, the house of Allah. And therefore the ulama say that if you study the history of Al-Quds from ancient times up till now, then of course we will see that Tawheed has always been a celebrated fact and principle in the city of Al-Quds. So the correspondence between the leadership of Al-Quds to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, and requesting him to actually come to Al-Quds. And the request was based on what the people of Ilia, the people of Al-Quds, began to witness of the bravery and the firm stand of a great Sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. سيدنا أبو عبيدة عامر ابن الجراح رضي الله تعالى عنه was the Sahabi who was in the territory. And if we study our history carefully, we will see that people like Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah Amr ibn al-Jarrah, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Khalid al-Walid, were Sahaba that were all in this territory of Asham. And at one or the other time, they could actually easily navigate and move to the center points where the Amir al-Mu'mineen required them to be. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid, of course, the decisive battle of Ma'rakatul Yarmouk was the very strategic military mine of Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid. Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd bin Haritha's father, as you would recall, was killed in the battle of Muta. And you would know that Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who then later on became Ja'far al-Tayyar, was also one of the great Sahaba that were killed and his body mutilated in the battle of Muta, that is in the Jordanian territory. And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah was part of the group of Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah, لكل أمة أمين وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة عامر ابن الجراح رضي الله تعالى عنه. Extraordinary qualifications that these Sahaba earned, that they were men of trust, men of great position and amana. And therefore, we cannot allow anybody to be abusive to the Ashab رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I am just picking because I want you to know the personalities that were in the territory. For example, if we study our history, we will see that decisive moments in Islamic history were not in isolation of the conquest of Baitul Maqdis. For example, the expedition of Tabuk was not an exercise in isolation. The expedition of Tabuk has in actual fact every characteristic that leads to the pathway of the conquest of Baitul Maqdis. And Ibn Khaldun described that when the Nabi alayhi salam asked the Sahaba to contribute for their wealth, and the very significant standpoint of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he gave all his wealth for this expedition, Ibn Khaldun described, and he said, Sayyidina Umar said that I have the full yaqeen. Sorry, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I have the full yaqeen. The same Allah that requires this wealth for this expedition, the same Allah will give me wealth again. And it is said that Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr became a more wealthy man after that. Shaykh Abu Hassan al-Nadwi in his kitab, Sirat al-Nabawiyyah, says that the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Sahaba brought their pledges, Nabi alayhi salam raised his hands into the sama and said, Allahumma inni urid ar-Rum. Allahumma inni urid ar-Rum. Oh Allah, my intention is to confront the last of the Roman Empire. And here again we learn that as today, of course, our brothers are faced with the Zionist occupation, that at a moment and at a time that the Ummah requires wealth to move against its enemy, then the Ummah should not be stingy, like in the Palestinian case. So Nabi alayhi salam was specific, said it requires wealth, requires money to confront this enemy. And you know that later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predicted in the Quran in Surah Ar-Rum, غُلِبَتِ الرُّوم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed in Surah Ar-Rum the fall of the Roman Empire. They will be overpowered, the Persians conquered them, and after their conquest, وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. The personalities that were in the area is very significant. Now what does it tell us? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is coming from Madinatul Munawwara li fath bayt al-Maqdis,
But the networking of the Sahaba is running all in the territory. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As already found himself in the southern part of Palestine, the Sahara al-Naqab, traveling through those areas. And of course, later on, Fatih al-Misra, and all these strategic areas that the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib came from Abyssinia, and upon his return to Madinatul Munawwara, the conquest of Fath Khaybar took place. And Khaybar is that enclave outside Madinatul Munawwara where the Yahud, you understand, were based, and it became their center. It is recorded that the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said about the return of Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who later on became Ja'far al-Tayyar, as his body was mutilated in the Battle of Muta. And Rasulullah could describe how the battle was taking place and how the Malaika were placing the wings on his mutilated body, and he said, I see how he flies to his destination in Jannah. So he became Ja'far al-Tayyar, the brother of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And when he came back to Madinah to Manawara, Rasulullah said, La adari bi-ayyihima afrah, bi-fathi Khaybar aw bi-qudum Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. I don't know what makes me more happy, the conquest of Khaybar or the return of Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. I am saying that I could straight away jump into Sayyidina Umar going to Al-Quds, but I want to draw your attention to the network amongst great men, great Sahaba Ridwanu. Sayyidina Abu Ubaida Amir ibn al-Jarrah preceded Sayyidina Umar to Baytul Maqdis. There is a riwayah in the hadith. The rawi of the hadith is Sayyidina Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala. And Sayyidina Shaddad ibn Aws' qabr is a few hundred meters away from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Sayyidina Shaddad ibn Aws was the Sahabi whom the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, Satuftahu Sham, وَسَيُفْتَحُ بَيْتُ الْمَقْدِسِ وَسَتَكُونُ أَنْتَ وَوَلَدُكَ أَئِمَّةً بِهَا إِنْشَاءُ. You and your generation will become imams. Rasulullah was talking about the future. وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Sayyidina Shaddad ibn Aws, he became imam in Baytul Maqdis, and his generation of children, progeny, became imams in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Great history we have. So when Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib came back, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, La adri ba'ayyima afrah, bi-fath Khaybar, bi-qudum Ja'far, radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Ubaida Amir ibn al-Jarrah was a very brave Sahabi. And it is described that in a very stern way, he kept the city of Al-Quds under siege, standing at the gate of the city of Al-Quds for 40 days, and nobody could move in and out of the city. It was a strategic move to make sure that the city of Al-Quds, its identity will be restored. By now you should know that it was the Romans and the Christians who became perturbed by the practices of the Jews, who for example turned the area of the Qubbat al-Sakhra. At that time it was not known as the Qubbat al-Sakhra, because the Qubbat al-Sakhra was built in the time of the Dawlat al-Umawiyya. But during that time it was known as Ra's al-Sakhra, the head of the rocky area. And they turned it already into a masbala, into an abattoir, into a place of their rituals, desecrating the territory of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And therefore, again, when we talk about the definition of the size of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has given the best definition. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa huwa madara alayhi sur, the entire wall around the compound, that is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. I will come back to the Ra's al-Sakhra, because the famous Sahabi Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Sahabi after Sayyidina Umar visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, he is the Sahabi that indicated to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu where the area of the Dome of the Rock was. I find it very fascinating that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and up till now in my own readings I haven't come across the name of the companion of Sayyidina Umar who accompanied him. Everybody says it was a young man. What was his age? What was his name? I haven't come across. I don't know if any of the mashayikh have come across the research of the person who accompanied Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But very recently I read that when Sayyidina Umar traveled from Medina to Al-Quds, and you can imagine what it was then, 15th Hijriya. So along the way Sayyidina Umar realized that his clothing was now becoming very shabby and, you know, tattered and whatever it may be. Very significant this part. It is said that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu along the way actually went to a tailor. Went to a tailor to cut for him a new jubba. And according to Dr. Abdul Fattah Al-Uwaisi, he says that it was cut out of papyrus material. But Sayyidina Umar was not comfortable with this new jubba. In some instance, Dr. Abdul Fattah Al-Uwaisi said it was too grand. And Sayyidina Umar thought, no, these people will have a different perception of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So what he actually did was, he started patching up the old jubba. And so history says there's about 14 patches was on the jubba of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. The journey says that Sayyidina Umar shared the mode of transportation with a young boy that accompanied him. At times Sayyidina Umar would be on the horse's back, and at times he would be on the horse's back. And so they changed it. However, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that time it was little bit more than a journey of 1 month. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached Al-Quds. Now during those days, of course, there were no social networks, no internets, no WhatsApp, no BBMs, no internet, no Google, no Yahoo. No blackberries, but the people of Elia, Medinat al-Quds, awaited. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered al-Quds, the chiefs and the leaders of the city of Elia awaited the coming of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They actually speculated about the idea that Sayyidina Umar was coming with an army to Jerusalem. There is no doubt about the fact, and I make reference to a very learned scholar in Jordan, Dr. Saud Abu Mahfouz. He is a great authority on the history of Palestine. And Dr. Saud Abu Mahfouz makes reference that how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu instructed this young boy to ascend onto the mountain hill and to make adhan. Now why is it so important to mention that this very important action that took place there? Because Sayyidina Umar actually told this boy, إِنَّنَا لَن نَدْخُلَ الْقُدْسِ إِلَّا بِعَظَمَةِ رَبِّنَا. We are not going to enter Al-Quds except with the greatness of our great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore many writers and researchers and ulama say we can only imagine to enter Al-Quds again kama dakhalaha Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. I have no sanat for this one, but sometimes historians can put facts in a very imaginary photographic mind, and they say that the Matran, the patriarch as they call him, Serophorus, did say that he felt the vibration of the Takbir, and the adhan that was made, that small little mountain top is called Jabal al-Mukabbir. Jabal al-Mukabbir. It is said that Netanyahu, this Benjamin Netanyahu, this Netin, Sheikh Abdul Hamid would call him. You understand? And Netin means Najas. You understand? The Netin, Netanyahu. Nothing, the nothing Netanyahu. He some time ago started a very insulting process at Jabal al-Mukabbir, where coinciding with the day that Sayyidina Umar conquered al-Quds, he actually brings a small battalion of the Israeli army there with their guns, and what they believe is to mute that sound of the takbir of Sayyidina Umar, and then they shoot into the air. The same Netanyahu ascended the steps, Netanyahu now, ascended the steps of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak that Salahuddin Ayyubi ascended. And in fact he says that this is an insult to Salahuddin because we are now in charge of Al-Quds. So the conquest of Bayt al-Maqdis was a very beautiful characteristics. In fact, I'm taking a shortcut because the Jordanian people that is here, our Sheikh and our brother is from Jordan, could tell us the very interesting part, because Sayyidina Umar, part of Sayyidina Umar's journey to Al-Quds was through Jordan. And I reenacted the pathway of Sayyidina Umar with Dr. Saud Abu Mahfouz, that even in Jordan there is a small little place. And 2 years ago I attended a function called Al-Fathul Umari. Al-Fathul Umari. Al-Fathul Umari is the day that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not this last Friday in Ramadan, they call it Al-Quds Day. That's not the real Al-Quds Day. يوم القدس يوم الذي فتح عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه. And we see some serious attempts by other ideologies to suppress the idea that Sayyidina Umar هو الذي فتح بيت المقدس. So we have to take great care of this information. And we shouldn't accept any nonsense that is thrown at us. You understand? Some people say this Quds Day is the day that Khomeini decided it should be Quds Day. You understand? Our belief is yani, the day that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. You know, in Jordan there's a small little village called Qarya Khatabiyah where Sayyidina Umar made Salah. There's a masjid there. And the night before he conquered Baytul Maqdis, وَكَانَ فِي مَدِينَةِ الْأَقْبَةِ. He was in Aqaba, strategic. And Salahuddin Ayyubi came and he reenacted the pathway of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, step by step, village by village, place by place, until Salahuddin came to a particular point in Jordan where he released 120,000 white doves into the sama, alamat al-bushra li fath bayt al-maqdis. Our history is very rich, brothers. And so it is important for us to research, to read, and to re-embrace our history. There's many tasrihat that is required, many rectifications that is required in this, because some people will capitalize on the ignorance of others and just throw information. We should be on our guard. I am just highlighting some of the significant areas and what to tell you that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, according to the records, when the patriarch, the matron, Serophorus, he was known and he was the leader, he was the 8th patriarch. The late Sheikh Abdul Hamid Kishk, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he talks on Fathu Bayt al-Maqdis, he explained that how the leadership of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu impressed the matron. And the Roman leaders, to the extent that very peacefully the keys
Sheikh Abdul Hamid Fishay says, فَاسْتَلَمَ مَفَاتِيحَ الْقُدْسِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. But very significant, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he entered al-Quds, Sayyidina Abu Ubaida Amir ibn al-Jarrah stood by the side of the Patriarch and the whole leadership of the Romans. And then he looked at Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and thought for himself, Ya Subhanallah, look at our Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's got so many patches on his jubbah. And look at the Roman leaders here, they are in the grandeur of their paraphernalia. So Sayyidina Abu Ubaida Amir ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought he would be a little bit smart. So he went to Sayyidina Umar. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, كأن أهل المدينة لا يستشرفون. It would appear that as though the people of Medina doesn't give any attention to you. You understand? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded to Sayyidina Abu Ubaida Amir ibn al-Jarrah and said, if anybody else had to say what you said, I would have strangled you. But because Rasulullah said, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينٌ وَأَمِينُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَبُو أُبَيْدَ أَمِرْ إِبْنُ الْجَرَّةِ. So Sayyidina Umar sharply reminded him and said, we the Arabs, we were the most disgraced people on the face of earth. فَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. And Allah gave our izzah for Islam. فَمَهْمَا ابْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. If we seek grandeur and dignity and izzah in anything else, Allah will disgrace us. So these were the kind words of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and the report. Next significant point was Sayyidina Umar didn't immediately go into al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. Up till today, I don't actually know. Or one can interpret and say that the hikmah of why Sayyidina Umar immediately went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Arabic is called Kanisatul Qiyam? Qiyama, no? Kanisatul Qiyama, not Kanisatul Bishara is the other one. So, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, hikmatan of course, contented the Christian people that we are not coming to fight with you. We are not coming to desecrate your holy places. And when Sayyidina Umar was offered the opportunity to make salah in the church, it was hikmah that prevailed when he decided not to make salah in the church and said he feared that no member of the ummah should come after him and then claim the church to be a mosque. Limada? Because Umar made salah in it, radiallahu ta'ala. So that was hikmah of Sayyidina Umar. The very significant part was Sayyidina Umar then went to the Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa compound and the agreement that Sayyidina Umar drew up with the people of Elia is called Al-Uhdatul Umari. It's a very interesting document to study. I propose, even though it is barely a full page document, but it contains very powerful principles, very far-sighted, deep vision principles that gave protection to the people of Elia under the Islamic rule, under the Khalifa Amir al-Mu'mineen. And upon the request of the Roman people, the Yahud, and in fact, it was not Sayyidina Umar's condition, it was the people of Elia's condition, that already they had such bad experience with the Jews, that they asked Sayyidina Umar to insert in the covenant or the agreement or the contract or the whatever you call it, that the Jews should not live with them. And it became like that. the kanais, the churches of the Christians, the synagogue of the Yahud, all of that was mentioned in this Uhdatul Umariyah, and that it will be protected. So up to this particular point, the various characteristics contains more details, of course. You can't just tell the story like in and out. You know, there's extraordinary details that we should reflect upon. And I think the great lesson to learn from the story of Sayyidina Umar's conquest is that Sayyidina Umar also went to Baytul Maqdis at the time that it was under occupation. And strong leadership is required in the Ummah. There is a saying that Palestine has been occupied by so many. لَقَدْ اِحْتَلَّ مَنْ اِحْتَلَّ. Whoever wanted to occupy this. وَلَقَدْ مَرَّ مَنْ مَرَّ. And whosoever wanted to pass by. وَلَكِنْ بَقِيَتِ الْقُدْسُ وَالْأَقْصَى. Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa remained. So the lessons that we can all learn is that yes, Baytul Maqdis, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, Al-Ard Al-Mubarakah was always a top priority for the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very significant that we should refresh our minds with all the major personalities amongst the Sahaba whom actually went to Baytul Maqdis, who left there, who made hijrah there, who narrated various ahadith. Sayyidina Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I've shared with you. Sayyidina Awf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umama al-Bahili radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Sharahbil radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Ka'ab ibn al-Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala. Great Sahaba Ardawanullah, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid, all great names. And today our children, they know all the names of the film stars and the actors and the actresses, but barely five names of the Sahaba Ardawanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And we should intensify this campaign amongst our children to know the Hayat al-Sahaba Ardawanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And you know, sometimes we find this nonsensical references when some people say هم رجال ونحن رجال, and I say نعم هم كانوا رجال سجلهم الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه ونحن رجال ونم نسجل في أي كتاب. They were great men. Allah mentioned them in his book. We profess to be men, but we are not mentioned anywhere. So you can't make this comparison between the Sahaba and us. Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in are great models, and we will strive all the time to emulate the great examples of the Ashabu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shukran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala.